Диск 5. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание B1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только 1 раз. В задании есть 1 лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A. Can you imagine it? The average American spends more than $100 on Valentine's Day, and men spend almost twice as much on Valentine's Day as women do. A survey I read shows that more than 1/3 of men would prefer not receiving a gift. At the same time, just less than 20% of women feel the same way. The reason for this is partly that the holiday seems just too expensive. Speaker B.
As far as I know, on Valentine's Day, no one saves money on flowers. No wonder, flowers may cost up to 30% more that day. Some people even buy and send flowers to themselves on Valentine's Day. The most popular flower is still the rose, followed by lilies and violets. The colors of flowers are very important, as they speak about your feelings and emotions. But many people just don't pay attention to that and buy whatever they find nice and suitable.
Speaker C.
I was surprised to learn that Valentine cards have a very long history. Some scientists believe that the tradition was probably started by Charles, Duke of Orleans, because the oldest surviving Valentine dates back to him, to the year of 1415. It was a beautiful poem written by the Duke to his wife. However, some historians trace the roots of the holiday back to the Roman times and their pagan celebrations, or early medieval times.
Speaker D.
Do you know that 1 billion Valentine cards are sent each year worldwide, making it the second largest card-sending holiday of the year, behind Christmas? I've heard Hallmark, a big card producer, even employs research staff to analyze the sales pattern of previous Valentines. They analyze customer interviews and in-store observations to find out which cards have been a sellout this or that year, and which age group chooses which type of cards, and which is the best poem on the card, and so on.
Speaker E. BBC reports that India has spoken out against Valentine's Day, calling it an attack on local culture for commercial purposes. So I guess they do take it seriously, and there are people not in favor of this holiday. The Catholic Church, for instance, struck St. Valentine's Day from its official calendar in 1969. There even have been times when Valentine's Day was close to being forbidden. Speaker F.
The University of Maryland has a team of academic experts educating the media about Valentine's Day, no matter what angle they wish to cover. There, I've read that many people choose Valentine's Day for getting married. Can you imagine? The list of celebrities who've done this includes Elton John and Meg Ryan. And quite a lot of famous people have been born on that day.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A. Can you imagine it? The average American spends more than $100 on Valentine's Day. And men spend almost twice as much on Valentine's Day as women do. A survey I read shows that more than one-third of men would prefer not receiving a gift. At the same time, just less than 20% of women feel the same way. The reason for this is partly that the holiday seems just too expensive. Speaker B.
As far as I know, on Valentine's Day, no one saves money on flowers. No wonder. Flowers may cost up to 30% more that day. Some people even buy and send flowers to themselves on Valentine's Day. The most popular flower is still the rose, followed by lilies and violets. The colors of flowers are very important, as they speak about your feelings and emotions. But many people just don't pay attention to that and buy whatever they find nice and suitable.
Speaker C.
I was surprised to learn that Valentine cards have a very long history. Some scientists believe that the tradition was probably started by Charles, Duke of Orleans, because the oldest surviving Valentine dates back to him, to the year of 1415. It was a beautiful poem written by the Duke to his wife. However, some historians trace the roots of the holiday back to the Roman times and their pagan celebrations, or early medieval times.
Speaker D.
Do you know that 1 billion Valentine cards are sent each year worldwide, making it the second largest card-sending holiday of the year, behind Christmas? I've heard Hallmark, a big card producer, even employs research staff to analyze the sales pattern of previous Valentines. They analyze customer interviews and in-store observations to find out which cards have been a sellout this or that year, and which age group chooses which type of cards, and which is the best poem on the card, and so on.
Speaker E. BBC reports that India has spoken out against Valentine's Day, calling it an attack on local culture for commercial purposes. So I guess they do take it seriously, and there are people not in favor of this holiday. The Catholic Church, for instance, struck St. Valentine's Day from its official calendar in 1969. There even have been times when Valentine's Day was close to being forbidden. Speaker F.
The University of Maryland has a team of academic experts educating the media about Valentine's Day, no matter what angle they wish to cover. There, I've read that many people choose Valentine's Day for getting married. Can you imagine? The list of celebrities who've done this includes Elton John and Meg Ryan. And quite a lot of famous people have been born on that day.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание А1А7. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений А1, А7 соответствуют содержанию текста? 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Обведите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, Windsor Travel Company. How may I help you?
Hello. I was just wondering if you could offer me a tour of Windsor. This is my first visit to England, and I want to make the most of it. I've been dreaming of visiting Windsor for quite a long time, so...
And may I tell you that you have phoned the very right place. We're the oldest company in Great Britain to offer a variety of guided tours to Windsor.
So you have several routes. I'm surprised to hear that, as I thought Windsor's a really tiny town.
Windsor isn't big, but there's so much to see and do there. Would you like me to list some of the opportunities?
Yes, please.
Well, the most famous attraction in Windsor is certainly the magnificent Windsor Castle, the most romantic castle in the world. When the Queen is in residence, her presence is marked by the flying of her personal standard from the Round Tower. You may be lucky to see that.
I guess Windsor Castle is a must for a tourist like me. What can I see there?
First, you go to St. George's Chapel, one of England's most beautiful ecclesiastic structures, and move forward to Queen Mary's Doll's House, a perfect miniature palace with working lights and lifts, and even running water in all its 5 bathrooms.
That must be amazing. Anything else I could see apart from Windsor Castle?
You may stroll to the Household Cavalry Museum. Inside is a comprehensive collection of the regiment's uniforms, weapons, and armor, as used from 1600 to the present day. One more thing absolutely worth seeing is Windsor Great Park and Smith's Lawn.
Is it possible to combine all of these things into one day's tour?
Most people feel one day isn't enough for them, but you'll have a general impression and can come back next time you're in England.
And what about shopping opportunities? I'd really love to buy some souvenirs for my family and friends.
Windsor Royal Station will suit you. The covered shopping area combines modern store design and user-friendly facilities.
Good. I think I'll order a tour now.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you'll hear the text again.
Hello, Windsor Travel Company. How may I help you?
Hello. I was just wondering if you could offer me a tour of Windsor. This is my first visit to England, and I want to make the most of it. I've been dreaming of visiting Windsor for quite a long time, so...
And may I tell you that you have phoned the very right place. We're the oldest company in Great Britain to offer a variety of guided tours to Windsor.
So you have several routes. I'm surprised to hear that, as I thought Windsor's a really tiny town.
Windsor isn't big, but there's so much to see and do there. Would you like me to list some of the opportunities?
Yes, please.
Well, The most famous attraction in Windsor is certainly the magnificent Windsor Castle, the most romantic castle in the world. When the Queen is in residence, her presence is marked by the flying of her personal standard from the Round Tower. You may be lucky to see that.
I guess Windsor Castle is a must for a tourist like me. What can I see there?
First, you go to St. George's Chapel, one of England's most beautiful ecclesiastic structures, and move forward to Queen Mary's Doll's House, a perfect miniature palace with working lights and lifts, and even running water in all its 5 bathrooms.
That must be amazing. Anything else I could see apart from Windsor Castle?
You may stroll to the Household Cavalry Museum. Inside is a comprehensive collection of the regiment's uniforms, weapons, and armor, as used from 1600 to the present day. One more thing absolutely worth seeing is Windsor Great Park and Smith's Lawn.
Is it possible to combine all of these things into one day's tour?
Most people feel one day isn't enough for them, but you'll have a general impression and can come back next time you're in England.
And what about shopping opportunities? I'd really love to buy some souvenirs for my family and friends.
Windsor Royal Station will suit you. The covered shopping area combines modern store design and user-friendly facilities.
Good. I think I'll order a tour now.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задання А 8, А 14. Ви услышите інтерв'ю. В заданиях А 8, А 14 обведите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Today, in our World Englishes program, we are going to discuss Indian English. Professor Barry Smith is my guest, and my first question is, what is the role of English in today's India?
In India, where more than 18 different languages coexist, English serves as the connector between people speaking different mother tongues. So the number of Indians who wish to learn and use English is not only continuing, but increasing. The number of English newspapers, journals, and magazines is on the increase too. In fact, Indian English is a recognized dialect of English, just like British received pronunciation, or Australian English, or Standard American. It has a lot of distinctive pronunciations, some distinctive syntax, and quite a bit of lexical variation.
What about grammar?
Linguists observe the following anomalies in the grammar of Indian English. The Indians, for instance, use the progressive tense with stative verbs, which is an influence of traditional Hindi grammar. There are also variations in noun, number, and determiners, preposition use, building tag questions, word order. Another example is that Indians often use the indefinite article a before words starting with vowels, though it must be mentioned that usually this is just a slip of the tongue.
Are these anomalies kind of accidental, or can you explain them in some way?
For those aware of the grammar of Indian tongues, the logic behind the quirks of Indian English is quite transparent and readily explicable. In addition to what I've already mentioned, Indians use the past perfect tense in verbs, where international English speakers would use the past simple. There are lexical points as well, like using the words but and only as intensifiers, or adding English affixes to local words. There are some funny cases, like use of the plural ladies for a single lady or a woman of respect. Use of open and close instead of switch on and off. Some idioms and popular phrases include the question, where are you put up, instead of where do you live? Or the phrase, tell me, instead of how can I help you? Strange as it may seem, sentences like, hello, what do you want, as a beginning of a business conversation, aren't perceived as rough by most Indians.
Have local Indian languages contributed to Indian English?
Internet research shows that Indians frequently inject words from Indian languages. Some of the more common examples are jungle or bungalow. Others were introduced via the transmission of Indian culture, examples of which are mantra, karma, avatar, and guru. There are colloquial and slang words used in Indian English as well. Teenagers take an active part in modernizing the language. What younger generations devise may not be used or even understood by older English speakers in India. For example, youngsters use the expression hi-fi for cool or stylish.
Thank you, Professor, for a very interesting talk. What would you like to say in conclusion? What is your final diagnosis?
Indian English is changing and trying to be more universal and simpler. The shifts in modern Indian English are well explained by the famous local proverb, there's nothing noble in being superior to some other person. The true nobility is in being superior to your previous self. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you'll hear the text again.
Today, in our World Englishes program, we are going to discuss Indian English. Professor Barry Smith is my guest, and my first question is, what is the role of English in today's India?
In India, where more than 18 different languages coexist, English serves as the connector between people speaking different mother tongues. So the number of Indians who wish to learn and use English is not only continuing, but increasing. The number of English newspapers, journals, and magazines is on the increase too. In fact, Indian English is a recognized dialect of English, just like British received pronunciation, or Australian English, or Standard American. It has a lot of distinctive pronunciations, some distinctive syntax, and quite a bit of lexical variation.
What about grammar?
Linguists observe the following anomalies in the grammar of Indian English. The Indians, for instance, use the progressive tense with stative verbs, which is an influence of traditional Hindi grammar. There are also variations in noun, number, and determiners, preposition use, building tag questions, word order. Another example is that Indians often use the indefinite article a before words starting with vowels, though it must be mentioned that usually this is just a slip of the tongue.
Are these anomalies kind of accidental, or can you explain them in some way?
For those aware of the grammar of Indian tongues, the logic behind the quirks of Indian English is quite transparent and readily explicable. In addition to what I've already mentioned, Indians use the past perfect tense in verbs, where international English speakers would use the past simple. There are lexical points as well, like using the words but and only as intensifiers, or adding English affixes to local words. There are some funny cases, like use of the plural ladies for a single lady or a woman of respect. Use of open and close instead of switch on and off. Some idioms and popular phrases include the question, where are you put up, instead of where do you live? Or the phrase, tell me, instead of how can I help you? Strange as it may seem, sentences like, hello, what do you want, as a beginning of a business conversation, aren't perceived as rough by most Indians.
Have local Indian languages contributed to Indian English?
Internet research shows that Indians frequently inject words from Indian languages. Some of the more common examples are jungle or bungalow. Others were introduced via the transmission of Indian culture, examples of which are mantra, karma, avatar, and guru. There are colloquial and slang words used in Indian English as well. Teenagers take an active part in modernizing the language. What younger generations devise may not be used or even understood by older English speakers in India. For example, youngsters use the expression hi-fi for cool or stylish.
Thank you, Professor, for a very interesting talk. What would you like to say in conclusion? What is your final diagnosis?
Indian English is changing and trying to be more universal and simpler. The shifts in modern Indian English are well explained by the famous local proverb, "There's nothing noble in being superior to some other person." The true nobility is in being superior to your previous self. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.